as promised on the Comcast Business Hotline, he just got finished doing 2 hour Sports Center from Bristol, Connecticut, Phoenixville's finest. Kevin Negandhi, what's up, brother?
Joe, what's good, my man?
Well, buddy, I hope we're going to see some goodness tomorrow night in Boston. I mean, I know you watch every game, you watch every frame of anything that comes out of Philadelphia. You saw what happened the other night. How did the Sixers turn that around in game two?
Got to hit some shots. And you know, honestly, when you're playing in an environment like that, like it's not Miami. Boston's a different level. It's one of the best places if you're a home player, especially if you're a young guy, because you can build confidence in that environment. Like we saw with Rozier. By the way, he's a fantastic player. But when you have that home crowd there and shots are going in, that stuff carries you the rest of the way.
Yep.
The one thing that Boston can do, now granted, we could break down Stevens does a phenomenal job of basically everybody on the floor finds a way that they could shoot the ball. I mean, Aaron Baines was making outside jumpers. The one thing that they do so well is they could defend every single position. And the idea that you're going to have one-on-one with Joel, and Joel's going to expend all that energy with Baines down low or Al Horford down low, no one's getting the second chance rebounds there. That's the one thing that was glaring in this game. You know, Joe, every time you come down the floor, I like that matchup there. It's a mismatch, and it favors the Sixers. Dump the ball to Joel. Let Joel try to figure it out. But there's going to be times where he's working much harder to get an open look. You got to have somebody there underneath to help keep the possession alive by getting the rebound. We didn't see a lot of that in game one. And I felt like, you know, the veterans that they have on this team, like a Bellinelli, like a Redick, like a Ilyasova, it felt like they were overwhelmed by the crowd and the environment, which was a little bit surprising. I think you can give some leeway to guys like Joel as well as Ben playing in an environment like that. I'm sorry, it's not like Miami. Miami is a completely different place when you're on the road. When you're in Boston, a playoff game, I mean, there's nothing better about the NBA than an environment like that. And I just think that those guys didn't respond the way we were expecting to. And plus the switches. I mean, they were crushing Redick on those switches. And you were seeing the open man get the open looks there for the Celtics.
Kevin, let me ask you, how concerned are you then in game two that we're not going to see some more of what we saw in game one, being overwhelmed, and maybe the coaching matchup, Brad Stevens versus Brett Brown? Do you think there was, I won't call it a mismatch, but do you think Brett Brown was outcoached?
It's hard for me to say because Brett's not out there, you know, shooting the threes.
He looks a lot better when they start knocking him down, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there were moments where they came out, like after timeouts, where it felt like, all right, something's working a little bit. They're getting refocused
yes.
here. You know, Brad Stevens is a top-of-the-line coach. And I think Brett has I think he has the base to be one of those guys, but we haven't had the chance to see enough of Brett with the talent like this. Let's just face it, this is really like his first year with the team that he really wants.
Yep.
And he still doesn't even have his number one pick out there on the floor. I'm kind of curious to see how much we see of Fultz in game two. It's hard to judge Brett right now versus Brad Stevens at this moment, but, you know, Brad Stevens is, I think, an outstanding coach with the personnel. Because if you look, I mean, let's not forget, Jaylen Brown didn't even play, and then they're losing Kyrie. Every lineup he puts out there, those guys play hard. They all find ways to get open looks, and no matter what, they defend. And that's a credit to Brad Stevens. So, you know, I'm not looking at this like, hey, it's the end of the world if they go come back to Philly 0-2. I'm looking at this as I want to see the learning process, where this team makes adjustments in game two, and they got to find a way to defend. Tatum, I just listened to you beforehand. Tatum's a phenomenal player, and it's the type of guy you look at this Sixers roster, and you're like, gosh, we could use a wingman. Oh, yeah, we could have. You know, I'm not gonna cast judgments on how this trade went down right now. That's foolish to do that because considering what Fultz had to go through this year. But it just makes you wonder. And the basketball gods right now, they've got a sixth sense of humor for this matchup, and for that game one.
Yeah, and we're with Kevin Negandhi on the from ESPN on the Comcast Business Hotline. Aside from casting judgments, Kevin, how frustrating is it as a Sixer fan watching Markelle Fultz not being able to contribute, you know, while conversely you're watching Jason Tatum hang 28 on your squad?
It makes you wonder, right?
Yeah.
But it's amazing, Joe. It's amazing what a Super Bowl can do. Because, honestly, let's be real here. If the Eagles were the loss of the Patriots and we were watching game one two nights ago, what's going through our mind? We're yelling at the TV, screaming, yep. Like, why, right? But there is that honeymoon that still rides for me, at least, in this situation where it's like, listen, I've always viewed this season with this team. Now, I understand the way things are set up in the East right now and also that Boston team without, you know, Kyrie and Gordon. But the way I view this season was, this is the fun season. This is the season. To me, a successful season was making the playoffs and then winning a first-round series. I'm not saying that I'm giving up. I'm just saying that the progress and the expectations that we have on this team, when you look at Ben Simmons, who doesn't have, he's not comfortable with a jumper outside 5 feet. He's just not comfortable. Yep. We know that. We could see that. But then you see the growth that he has from literally day one, you know, in that summer league 2 years ago to where he is now and leading this team and how he attacks the rim and he takes over games without shooting the basketball. You can see the future, and you see what Joel has done now playing a full season for the first time and getting a taste. To me, this is the fun part of learning this team. Next year is the pressure. Next year is when we're like, and I actually view the same way, and I talked to you about this, Joe, on several occasions. This past Eagles season, I felt like was the fun year, and 2018 was going to be the pressure year.
Yep.
The Eagles exceeded our expectations
and then schedule, yep.
Kept on going, right?
Yep.
To me, it's like, all right, let's see what the Sixers handling their first real case of adversity on the road in a game two.
Kevin, they are ahead of schedule, and of course, you know, the LeBron James sweepstakes have already begun. They began, you know, last summer with everyone speculating and posturing and preening. How important is it for them to land, you know, 23 with this process still, you know, a work in progress, and him being obviously the best player in the world still at his age, but to land a big name free agent, especially him, to move this thing forward? Or do you think they'd be okay with just a Paul George, or maybe trade for a Kawhi Leonard, or do something else, or wait till the next year when Klay Thompson's available? What are your thoughts?
It depends on what adjustments you have to make to the roster, but I will tell you this. They have enough cap room to get a Paul George.
Yes, they do.
They have enough cap room to figure out how to bring Kawhi. But what kind of assets are you giving up for a guy like Kawhi? Because let's not forget, it would have to be a trade.
Yep.
The LeBron stuff, I don't understand one thing. This sentiment from some people that say, well, I don't want him on the team. We're talking about the best player on the planet. And if you need proof, he had a triple-double last night, and he called it the worst game of the season.
Yeah, he didn't even play that well.
Exactly, because he's exhausted. He's played 90 games this year.
Unbelievable.
In 15. So when a guy like LeBron comes, let's just hypothetically play the role of LeBron coming on this team next year. He's not going to be the type of person that is going to stunt the growth of everybody around us. You know, he knows Ben Simmons. He understands Ben Simmons. They have the same agent. They have the same relationship. There's definitely a mentor-mentee relationship built in between these two guys. LeBron's fully aware of who he is and what's around him and how he wants to be relevant in the East. If he's going to stay in the East, he understands that he's going to have to go up against Boston and Kyrie. I think he's going to want to be on the best team that's situated that way, and that's the Sixers right now in the East. If he decides to go potentially, hey, I want to go to maybe Houston in the West, then that's understandable because he's got a legitimately three type of MVP years left in his body because of the way he prepares. I just think that if you have a chance to get LeBron James, you do everything in your power to get LeBron James as long as, you know, the foundation of this team is not adjusted. And, of course, that foundation belongs to three big parts. It belongs to Simmons, Embiid, and you could say right now and break it in half with Fultz and Saric, because we still got to figure out the idea of where we're going to have the future with Fultz.
Yep, the four founding pieces of the process that still remain. Kevin, we always appreciate it, man. Great talking to you. I'm glad you validated that last LeBron point, because I'm banging my head against the wall when I get callers that, oh, we don't need him. We just build this thing organically. What?
No. We need him. Like, if you have the opportunity to get LeBron James on your team, and here's the other, I will add one other thing.
Go ahead.
LeBron is such, let's not forget when he came in the league, everybody was comparing him to Magic over Michael. And one of the reasons why we see more Michael than Magic is because if you look at his cast, guys that he could rely on to shoot and score, LeBron comes in here and he's the great facilitator with Ben Simmons.
Yep.
And then there's going to be moments where I got to take over. I'll show these guys the intensity when you have to play in the playoffs championship basketball.
Totally agree, buddy. Hey, man, great talking to you. Great catching up with you. Keep enjoying that Super Bowl victory, man. It's placated us for this long, and hopefully it'll keep us mellow until they're ready to make another run at it next year. Appreciate it.
No, I'm riding that for as long as I can. Fly, Eagles, fly.
You got it, bud. All right, take care, Kev. Appreciate it, man. Kevin Negandhi from ESPN.